people what you're here for.
Bring everything out closer to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
Going on, you're listening to Radio Basics on CHRY 105.5 FM. You're listening to CHRY 105.5 FM Radio Basics. I'm here in the studio. This is Kabir with
JP. What's going on, everybody?
So we've got a lot in store for you in the show today. Our feature-length interview is going to be about the general strikes, the rebellion against French colonialism going on in Guadeloupe and Martinique, the two French colonies in the Caribbean. Strikes been going on there since January 20th, almost 6 weeks ago, and are continuing to rage and paralyze basically the two islands. We're also going to be coming at you with international and local headlines, as well as a summary of some upcoming events. We have Israeli Apartheid Week starting today, with an event that started just, I guess, an hour ago down at Ryerson University. And all this week there's going to be events to educate about the apartheid nature of the Israeli state. And despite the repression that campus groups and student activist groups opposing apartheid have been facing at universities across this province, the events are still taking place.
And a lot of people are just, a lot of institutions are saying you can't say apartheid, you know what I mean, and they're just trying to take it away, trying to deny it.
Exactly.
You know, it's good by the people to not let that happen, so you know, it's all right.
Definitely. So Justin, you want to bring up the international headlines?
Yeah, I got some headlines going across the world right now. So let's see. Start off in the U.S. The Obama administration has agreed to give the insurance giant AIG an additional $30 billion as part of a revamped government bailout. This comes on top of the $150 billion in taxpayer money already doled out to the firm. The New York Times reports federal officials felt they had no choice but to prop up AIG because business and trading activities are so intricately woven into the world's banking system. The $30 billion bailout of AIG comes 3 days after the firm sued the U.S. government over a disputed $30 million tax bill. This sure reinforces the sad fact that capitalist democratic governments are personally, institutionally, and structurally dependent on the capitalist class of society. Meanwhile, the former top U.S. commander in Afghanistan has projected that U.S. troops will remain in Afghanistan for another 16 years. Retired Lieutenant General David Barnum told the Senate panel last week that it will take until 2025 for the U.S. to hand over control fully to Afghan institutions. The CIA is continuing to carry out missile strikes in Pakistan. At least 8 people died on Sunday when an unmanned drone attacked a compound in northwest Pakistan near the border with Afghanistan. U.S. officials said that the target was a Taliban sanctuary. That's the unmanned drone, man. That sounds like something out of a science fiction or something.
So that's Obama's administration for you.
Yeah, that's everyone's hero, Obama. You know, he's sending unmanned drones. And I was thinking, like, who, if a drone massacres a bunch of people, who's responsible? is it the soldier controlling it? Is it the computer company that made the drone?
Obviously, it's the drone.
Yeah, blame the robot, but you know, obviously the way it goes is that no one's held accountable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, continuing on, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz reports an Israeli government agency is quietly promoting plans to vastly expand a settlement in the occupied West Bank that currently houses just 12 Israeli families. The Israeli Civil Administration has proposed the initial construction of 550 apartments in the settlement of Gabot, located near Alon Shvut. followed by the construction of another 4,450 units at a later stage. Another 2,000 apartments are planned for a neighboring settlement. That's just like gentrification going on over here, man.
I know, and it's amazing that, you know, no one's condemning that, most blatant violation of any agreement they've had that Israel continues to do.
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's crazy. The peace process is just mm-hmm.
A sham.
Right? So, Obama again. Here's another great thing done by this administration. The Obama administration has announced that the United States will boycott the World Conference Against Racism in Geneva next month, unless its final document drops all references to Israel and reparations for slavery. Unreal. Israel and Canada have already announced plans to boycott the UN conference. In 2001, the Bush administration diplomats walked out of the conference in Durban, South Africa, after delegates proposed a resolution likening Zionism to racism. The American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee praised the Obama administration for its decision. Yeah, yeah, all you can do is shake your head. Yeah, like, it's just like, wow. Like, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. Unbelievable. Over to Africa. President of West African nation Guinea-Bissau has been assassinated in the presidential palace by a group of renegade soldiers. The killing of Joao Bernardo Vieira came one day after the nation's armed forces chief was shot dead. Two men were considered staunch political rivals. Vieira, one of the two leaders of Guinea-Bissau's fight against Portuguese rule, led the impoverished country from 1980 to 1999, and then became president again in 2005 until his death. I don't know too much about this conflict. Maybe we could ask our guest, you know, a little bit, maybe shed some light if we got some time. Like, hoping, you know, what kind of hand Imperial has in it. In Haiti, several thousand staged a protest Saturday to mark the 5th anniversary of the U.S.-backed coup that led to the ouster of Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. The protest came days after the Haitian government barred members of Aristide's Lavalas party from running in the upcoming Senate election. One protester said, "We are here so the rights of the majority of the population will be respected. People cannot eat. They only have battery acid to live on. Also, there could be no election without the participation of the Lavalas party." 5 years after the kidnapping of President Aristide, the people's dream is to ask for his return. And that's some serious stuff we'll probably get to in the show.
Right? Definitely, we'll get to later in the show. We have to remember what role our own country took, large role we took in that overthrow 5 years ago.
Man, it's like every day I'm more and more unproud to be Canadian. What else have we got? A federal appeals court in San Francisco has rejected an argument by the Obama administration that the court should stop a lawsuit challenging the government's warrantless wiretap program, because a trial would potentially threaten national security. It's amazing. He's just using the same secrets doctrine that Bush was using.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what, where's all this change, right? It's just change so things won't change. That's exactly what it is. This ruling came in a case involving a defunct Islamic charity. Government lawyers signaled that they would continue fighting to keep the information secret, setting up a new showdown between the courts and the White House over national security. Ooh. Thousands of people marched in Phoenix, Arizona on Saturday to condemn raids on immigrant communities by County Sheriff Joe Arpaio. The sheriff recently came under criticism for parading a group of unchained, undocumented prisoners through the streets of Phoenix before transferring them to the infamous Tent City Jail. Yeah, I saw this. Let's go. This guy's coming under heat, but not enough heat.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, this guy was one of the old buddies of Obama's current national security appointee.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, direct connection in allowing him to do these kind of flagrant violations, right? Cruel and unusual punishment that he does. I mean, these are not even criminals we're talking about. A lot of them are just refugees, right? These are families that are desperate coming across the border and then are brutalized by this sheriff there.
Yeah, just people just trying to escape war and imperialism mm-hmm. and stuff, right? And I mean, you know, they send all these corporations down into these countries and say, we're gonna elevate their life standard. But meanwhile, everyone's fleeing, like, corporate oppression. So, like, and then you never hear that sort of connection made in the mainstream press, definitely. Last bit of news here in Seattle. A sheriff's deputy has pleaded not guilty to fourth-degree assault after he was caught on videotape assaulting a 15-year-old girl in a jail cell. Video of the beating was released by prosecutors on Friday. In the video, a deputy kicks a girl, pushing her back towards the wall. The deputy then strongly backs the girl against the wall and slams her head to the floor by grabbing her hair. A second deputy enters the holding cell, while the first deputy punches the girl in the back of the head while she's down. The first deputy appears to hit the girl with his hand. The girl is then lifted up, led out of the cell, while the first deputy holds her hair. The Kings County Sheriff Deputy Paul Sheen was investigated previously for shooting two people, killing one in the line of duty. And I don't know, you can go on YouTube and check this video out. This is gruesome. And then I seen one of the spokespersons. So they show the video, and then they have this spokesperson for the sheriff, who's just like, well, the video doesn't tell the whole story. And it's just like, okay, you see this girl, like, she looks like she's mouthing off or something, then just two grown men just come in and, I swear, just layer out, completely layer out, pull her away by her hair, cuff her, like, man, she was messed up. Like, yeah, the police brutality, it doesn't end.
And then you have to ask yourself, what's still doing on the force, never mind, you know, in direct contact with prisoners, after he shoots two people.
He killed one, man, that's the way these people operate. The police investigate the police, so what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Anyway, well, that's all I got for international news. I don't know if you want to add anything.
Definitely. In local news, I guess the biggest thing is that Israeli Apartheid Week, despite the ongoing attempts by university administrations to silence and repress Palestinian solidarity activism on campuses, Israeli Apartheid Week 2009 promises to be more successful than ever. Israeli Apartheid Week is taking place starting today in more than 40 cities across the globe. This year, Israeli Apartheid Week, IAW, happens in the wake of Israel's brutal military assault on the people of Gaza. And of course, the ongoing siege of that open-air prison. In Toronto, the birthplace of the IAW, something we should be really proud of. You know, one of the few things to be proud of, I guess. A full week of lectures, films, and actions will make the point that these latest massacres further confirm the true nature of Israeli apartheid. And the theme for Israeli Apartheid 2009 is Standing United with the People of Gaza. And the events will be taking place at U of T, Ryerson University, and right here at York University. And IAW 2009 will continue to build and strengthen the global and growing boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. And later on that, we'll be given a full list of the events that are coming up this week and which ones to check out. And even right here in New York University, we have students getting 30-day suspension, $1,000 fines, you know, $250 fines individually just for participating in a demonstration in which, quote-unquote, your club actively used noise-making instruments.
Oh, jeez. No noise. Wow, I didn't know that was a violation.
Yeah, those deadly noise-making instruments there. We're going to play a track here, and we're going to be coming back with... actually, I forgot to announce the name of our interviewee, I guess, Abayomi Ezekwe. He's the editor of the Pan-African Newswire, one of the premier kind of Pan-Africanist, African nationalist news, electronic news sources out there. And he's going to be coming on. He's going to be coming on to discuss the rebellions that are happening in Guadeloupe and Martinique against French imperialism. And so in honor of that, we're going to be playing some French hip-hop by the group Sniper. And this was done just after this track was released just after the rebellions in France. If people remember the riots in France that happened in 2005. Also, young African and Arab youth who were rebelling against poverty, police brutality, police chasing... back in 2005, two Arab youth into a hydroelectric station where they were electrocuted, and in response to that, you had these rebellions coming up from the underclass. So let's go to that track with Sniper.
On aimerait qu'ils nous comprennent.
Ils auront le tout parce qu'ils vont semer la haine.
Bienvenue en banlieue.
où les arènes sont dans la tourmente. Votre tournante, je suis de trois têtes comme plaque tournante. Joue ici doucement, doucement, doucement. De vouloir devenir millionnaire avant de dépasser les 30 balais. Grand gringalet, les armes vous êtes là, la arme qu'il fallait. Le bloc barre dans le matelas. Et mal, les petits enfants ont des crampes à l'estomac. Pour arriver à leur fin, j'irai même jusqu'à traumas. Et rate pas ton cou, gratte pas les gens. Assister des temps modernes, les voleurs par tous les temps. Grand, les petits boss, pétard, puis ils bougent. Expérandostos qui tend pas la main aux yeux rouges. Et y'a les pistolets à eau et les gros Beretta. Comme y'a les soirées ghetto et puis les soirées guetta. Tout cela coupe en le méta, des crampons, un grand pont. Y'a la loi de l'omerta, prends les ch'tards. Ferme-la, grand coup, ça la pousse. Donc tu tousses, tu t'expliques, ferme-la, couche. Les gueules connaissent l'odeur de ma pute. J'habite où j'ai grandi, au quartier, pas d'MJ. Peu de pit, peu d'MC, trop d'équipe et de la PJ. Oui, des rêves ont réagi face aux propos franciers. Un crime impuni, de la gasseuse dans une mosquée. Du mirail au bosquet, engrenage dramatique. Fait mes boules de neige, photomatraquage médiatique. Il parle de Karcher, qui vise la transcende de Sarko. Stop à la vache, à l'éléphant bleu. Mais ce qui est malheureux, c'est que l'on brûle le peu qu'on a. Qu'il suffirait de voter pour incendier ces connards.
Brûle, brûle. Un million brûle, je t'entends des cris faut que tu hurles. Que la chaleur passe fond des barreaux des cellules. Qu'elle incinère ton système qui part en testicule. Firebone brûle, brûle, Babylone brûle. Je t'entends des cris faut que tu hurles. Tu dis qu'on avance, non, pas qu'on recule. Un morceau lance pour la jeunesse qui danse. Plus je grandis, plus je vois que tout va à travers. En fait, on vient sur cette terre pour qu'on nous la mette à l'envers. Babylone, mon flow est un virus dans tes programmes. Il désinstalle, il nique, et puis tout crame. Bon, 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 j'ai fait sonne ma bonbonne. Rempli de vibes trop bonnes, man, j'ai sorti my weapon. Comme dirait Jaguar Gorgon. Je viens foutre le feu, je crache des flammes comme un dragon. Nique le système, ils auront le feu car ils ont semé la haine. Qu'on les brûle, qu'on les prend ou qu'on les jette dans la scène. La jeunesse du ghetto a de la rage qui coule dans les peines. Il faut briser les chaînes.
L'esclavage est mental et modernisé. Vous nous marchez sur la gueule, vous nous méprisez. Man, t'étonne pas si ta caisse est carbonisée. Peu importe si c'est sensibilisé.
Brûle, brûle, Babylone brûle. Je t'entends des cris, faut que tu hurles. Que la chaleur passe fond des barreaux des cellules. Qu'elle incinère ton système qui part en testicule. Firebone brûle, brûle, Babylone brûle. Je t'entends des cris, faut que tu hurles. Tu dis qu'on avance, non, pas qu'on recule. Un morceau lent et flamme pour la jeunesse qui danse.
Personnes de cette cité, mais la majorité d'entre eux ne parlent pas français.
Je suis issu de l'immigration, comme ils aiment tant le rappeler. Ça fait 30 ans qu'ils font plus parler d'intégration. Je me sens pas français, forcé de constater que l'on sait. Pas du refus, juste un fait. J'ai bu, je sais, et le fossé se creuse de plus en plus. Tous ces mythos font leur buzz. Sans l'insécurité, je sens la peur des gens. Mais c'est pas draguer l'électorat du front. Si je sens que l'histoire se répète, j'entends parler du rôle positif de la France durant les colonies. Putain, c'est quoi ces conneries? Quand nos pères étaient utiles et productifs, ils étaient bons pour ce pays. Mais quand leurs fils crient vengeance, ils sont bons pour leur pays d'origine, la France. Un pays régi par des irresponsables qui multiplient les maladresses. Ne demande pas pourquoi je m'agresse. Je m'adresse à son premier flic, un mec qui nie les fesses, qui salit la mémoire des victimes, qui met de l'huile sur le feu. Comportement indigne, tu prétentieux, trop ambitieux, tu vas nettoyer qui?
Brûle, brûle, Babylone brûle. Je t'entends des cris, faut que tu hurles. Que la chaleur passe fond des barreaux des cellules. Qu'elle incinère ton système qui part en testicule. Firebone brûle, brûle, Babylone brûle. Je t'entends de crier quand tu hurles. Tu dis qu'on avance, non, pas qu'on te recule. Un morceau lance, un pour la jeunesse qui danse.
Baseline lust, an automatic b-boy crawl on can't combust circuit. Working these war pig ciphers with head striker stability and kamikaze chivalry. I alone, noble in a worm boot feud. Walking dead generation, ain't nobody asking for your patience. The grand opening holding me to face the fact that I knew myself. Would just have to
gobs and webs, cut our butts up against Creole and daydream landscape, spitting bedlam. That I'm charged for villagers, nickels and nicotine, to watch a fed for one disgruntled cracking at high noon.
Sell popcorn, beer and balloons.
I got an inkling it's gonna be the one the children bicker over. It's that Warriors first baseball fury element that glitches motor sensory development. I am a star, really. The Big Bang bastard's back with a one-way ticket to Beach Street. This all is life relevant to humankind, supply demand ratios, man learning. I work past the surface, I work on what I love. I work the surface on my burdens, and I work until it's here that a flatline closes the curtain.
Radio Basics, back again. I think right now, I know last week I did a couple of interviews. One was M1 and one was Wise Intelligence, and both these guys dropped some serious knowledge. Like I know Wise Intelligence, he ran through just how the prison industrial complex works, and even with recent developments in Canada and the United States, I mean, you have increased police presence in schools. And then you have these police sending them to the judges, and the judges now are taking bribes from prison officials, from private prison institutions, to send kids to jail. You have youth going to jail for stealing a couple of dollars out of a car. One girl went to jail for writing something about her assistant principal on MySpace, and they're sending these youths to jail, just completely disrupting social life and communities, and these institutions, they're getting rich, right? Like, Wise Intelligence said that prisons are on the New York Stock Exchange. You can literally buy stock in prison, when the prison becomes so full of people it's about to burst and they get a government grant, that means the prison stock goes up. So, you know, more people going to jail, more wealth in the pockets of the capitalist class. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play that, the last one we didn't get to. It was Umi, and this guy, he came around, and we had one of the Basics members interview him, and yeah, just like the other two, like, he dropped some serious knowledge. So we're going to play this in the meantime, and hopefully we can get you that interview, and yeah, we'll come back when it's done. So check it out.
3, 2, 1, here with Umi from POW. Umi, you were down at Lawrence Heights yesterday. First time, you heard the place called Jungle. That's the nickname for the spot there. Jungle actually being the largest social housing project in Canada, right? And the Toronto Community Housing Corporation being the largest landlord in Canada. One of the things that's happening right there right now is that the area, I'm not sure if you noticed, is located very close to a mall. Prime real estate. What the government is trying to do is they're trying to demolish part of the area and then just sell that off to condos, and then move the people that are currently living there, low income, working class people, a lot of which are African people, East African, Oromo, and otherwise. So this is a process that's happening in the States too, is it not?
I first of all just say, thank you for just recording my words. It's needed right now, and it's in a time that is very needed, so I'm honored for that. And secondly, yesterday wasn't the first time I've heard of the jungle or even visited the jungle. I actually been introduced through a member of New York's Brooklyn population who comes out here quite often, and just so with some of the colors I was here earlier from the from the gods and earth. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but long story short, what's been going on, what you're speaking of, the justification process of not only contaminating disarming, dismobilizing, and eventually taking over our communities, it's been going on forever, you know what I mean? It's just, what happens is, every set of years, decade or two, what happens is, the economical, because it used to be about race, you know what I'm saying? It used to be like, if you white, if you black, you know what I mean? But now it's about economics, you know what I'm saying? So every decade or so, the richer population decides that they have a love for this sector of the community in terms of where it's located, in terms of how it's positioned to their job sites, to, you know, to whatever they feel is convenient. They've been having the luxury of doing this, picking and choosing since the beginning of taking our land from us as indigenous people, you know what I'm saying? So right now, the popular thing is we don't want to be secluded in the suburbs anymore. You know, in the 60s, they wanted to be in the suburbs to get away from the civil rights, what they thought was our reckoning, the African people getting courage, you know what I mean? Not just Africans, but browns, you know, our struggle to be mobilized as a people affects their positioning. So they said, you know, back then, we don't want to be downtown. We want to be in the suburbs. So they dislocated all these motherfuckers from what they now got, the suburbs. You know what I mean? Which used to be far fractions of the furthest spots of the hood that you could go out in most cities. They condemned them. They turned them into suburbs. Now, it's the exact opposite. You know, and it started in the early 90s. Really, the late 80s, they was like, yo, we want to take downtown. We want to revamp downtown. It started in the larger cities first. They use them as mock examples. Mm-hmm. But it's cities like Chicago, Illinois, that we don't hear a lot about. That's the most disenfranchised because they've been doing this shit relentlessly for the last 20 years. And it's because the same government is in place in Chicago. That it's called the Daley system. You know what I mean? His father was there, his and now his son's there. So they've been gentrifying these communities based on, now they want the downtown areas. So they take black people and they, you know, now they're moving them to the suburbs. Yeah. They're taking them out there where most black people don't have cars. So now they fucked up, you know what I mean? And not even to mention, there's a large percentage of them that aren't even accounted for. When they do come into their houses, they don't replace them with homes immediately. They get stuck with stipends to either, you know, survive day to day. And it's not right, you know what I'm saying? The shit that they did in Katrina, for the Katrina victims, that right there is, don't be fooled. That's trickery right there. That's another form of justification in its worst profit right there. So we got to study that as well, you know what I mean? Because that's justification that's been planned for over 65 years. They planned that. And then, you know, they knew it was going to happen. They just waited for the day for it to happen so they could take certain land from certain people. Is the same exact thing, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Well, you know, yourselves in the RBG family are not only artists, and obviously as we've just seen right now, fantastic artists, but y'all are revolutionaries. You guys are organizing, you guys are out there with the people. So, like, maybe you can tell us, because right now we're here as part of the Basics crew. We produce a free community newsletter that we go out to the community and, you know, disseminate information, like this interview, that's what's going to be on. We're going to transcribe this and put this onto the newsletter. And, you know, it's about spreading that information and also trying to incite people to organize, right, and to rise up. So how have people been responding to this in communities in the United States?
The RBG,
No, I mean, like, how have people been responding to the ongoing process of gentrification, right? Like,
I mean, you know, our people, they mad as hell, you know. And the thing is, with the system in general, we all aware of the negative approaches and the way the system stings us. We can't help but feel the effects, you know what I mean? But the problem is we haven't organized ourselves and sat down to come up with a strategic result as a community that can combat and put ourselves in a better position, you know what I'm saying? Because the things that's been affecting me as a man affected my father as he was becoming a man, you know what I'm saying? So I just, what I'm more adamant about is not just talking about shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, when I go in the communities, you know, I try to link with people like Fred Hampton Jr. In Chicago, for instance. I try to link with people that's doing shit that can be seen in a practical way that can help, you know, other people, not only...
Hello, welcome back to Radio Basics on CHRY. 105.5 FM. Sorry about that. We had to cut to an interview with artist Umi that basically did a little while ago, just because we were experiencing some technical difficulties trying to get a phone card, so we were able to phone Mr. Ezekwe in the U.S. As the global economic recession continues to devastate working people across the world, particularly in the third world, deteriorating and increasingly unlivable conditions have forced yet another population into rebellion. General strikes are raging in Guadeloupe and Martinique, two small islands in the Caribbean that France continues to hold as colonies. The revolt began in Guadeloupe back on January 20th when a coalition of unions, parties, and students called the LKP, or Collective Against Exploitation, announced general strikes in order to force the French government and local capitalists to increase workers' wages and lower high food and energy prices. On February 5th, the strike spread to the neighboring French island of Martinique. The far-right-wing French government, led by President Nicolas Sarkozy, at first refused to meet workers' demands and instead sent hundreds of gendarmes, or French riot police, in order to help local Guadeloupean police in crushing the rebellion. However, the ongoing revolts, which have closed airports, schools, companies, and gas stations and brought the tourist industry in Guadeloupe and Martinique to a standstill, have now forced the French government and local business leaders to negotiate with the LKP. Last Thursday, the Union Coalition won a $250 raise in salary for the lowest paid workers on the island, but the strikes continue as people demand a lowering of food and gas prices, along with an end to the systematic racism and inequity that French imperialism has created and maintained in the two islands. Joining us today to discuss the current situation in Martinique and Guadeloupe, and what it means for workers here in Canada, is Mr. Abayomi Ezekwe. He's the editor of the Pan-African Newswire. Justin, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's an international electronic press service designed to foster intelligent discussion on the affairs of African people. Maybe we can let Mr. Abayomi discuss it. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm right here.
Hey, yeah, thanks a lot. It's a real privilege to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
No problem. We know that you, out of all the articles that we've read, you seem to have like the most anti-imperialist solid articles on the topic. Can you just give us maybe a general history of imperialism in Guadeloupe and Martinique and discuss how it's led to the general strikes?
Well, it's quite amazing. France, of course, was a colonial power and still is a colonial power. They were involved in the slave trade beginning in the 17th century. They established colonies in the Caribbean. And, of course, in doing that, they needed a labor force because the indigenous people on those islands were largely wiped out, and some of them resisted, and they were not able to enslave them. So they had to go to Africa and began to import people from there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the exploitation was extremely, extremely severe. In fact, most people know about the Haitian situation because of the revolution there that began in 1791. And, of course, it triumphed in 1803, and we had the establishment of the first independent black republic in 1804. But many people are not aware that same colonial process also took place in other parts of the Caribbean, including Guadeloupe, Martinique, French Guiana, and also in the Indian Ocean in La Réunion, and also in even of the South Pacific. So, yes, France was and still is a colonial power, and the nation of Guadeloupe was supposedly integrated into the French colonial state in 1946, and they became a department of France. But at the same time, the fact of the matter is the people there don't have independence. And if you look at the current crisis that's going on right now in Guadeloupe and Martinique, just look in terms of the price of food, the price of fuel, rents, the lack of educational opportunities. This is at the root cause of the general strike. And I think it's phenomenal because outside of a few left newspapers and a few progressive news sources, this strike has not been covered by the corporate media. I know in the United States there's been a little bit of coverage in Canada. But I think it's a very, very significant political development because in France, if you remember, on January the 29th, there was a strike that involved millions of workers. A lot of them were in the transport industry. And then, of course, this development in Guadeloupe started on January the 20th and in Martinique on February the 5th. So they're happening. The crisis is affecting the entire French mainland as well as their colonial territories, and it's not just taking place in France. It's taking place throughout the entire capitalist world. If we look to see what's happening in the other European Union nations, what's going on in the United States, it's a very severe economic crisis.
Mm-hmm.
I would even venture to say it's a depression more so than a recession, because we have this economic downturn that's taking place not just in North America, but throughout the entire planet, from Asia to throughout Europe and North America, as well as the Caribbean and Latin America. So it's a very serious situation that's going on right now.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you can really see how the whole world was integrated during the 80s through the neoliberal era. Now they just...
Right.
Hierarchicalized the whole world, basically, and you know, some countries are labor, some are raw materials, and you know, it all goes to the major consumer states.
Exactly. That's very, very important.
Yeah, and going back to one point you said where you know, it hasn't been covered, I guess the sort of imperialist press doesn't want any of their national labor forces to kind of get any ideas, right?
Of course not. Right. And the situation is very precarious, even in France itself, because the Sarkozy government is a conservative regime,
mm-hmm.
and they had been very closely allied to the Bush administration in the United States. And in fact, over the last couple of years that he has been in power, he has made statements to the effect that French people don't work hard enough, they have too many social service benefits, and there needs to be a cut in those benefits, and there needs to be less guarantees in regard to employment and housing. And what he wants to do is to mimic the whole social system here in the United States, where we don't have national health insurance. There is no guarantee to a job. We have a huge housing crisis that's developed here in this country over the last 2 years. So it's good that people both in France itself and in their colonial territories are fighting back, and this is very, very important. I'm sure this is one of the reasons why they're not covering what's going on there. Also, we have to keep in mind that the race and national question in France itself
mm-hmm.
is very, very tense, because since 2005, we've had rebellions, we've had mass demonstrations in the suburbs outside of Paris and other major cities, where the immigrants and descendants of immigrants from North Africa, from the Middle East, from West Africa, from the Caribbean have rebelled. They rose up against the racism, against the lack of affirmative action, and against the police repression that people are subjected to in France by the French government on a daily basis. So there are a lot of different factors that are operating in this situation. That's why it's so significant, and that's why it's so explosive. In regard to the situation in France.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you mentioned in terms of the situation in France itself, you know, the internal colonies, we could say, with the Arab and African population in France. And we have recently just actually Martine Aubry, the leader of the French Socialist Party, warning, you know, setting up alarm bells about the risk of these protests spreading into mainland France. As well as we have this coalition of labor unions in Réunion, another of these French overseas regions, so-called, but what are in actuality, you know, overseas colonies in the Indian Ocean. Also announcing their own general strike scheduled for the 5th of March.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's very important that they have that scheduled on March the 5th, this coming Thursday. And they're following very closely what is going on in Guadeloupe and in Martinique. And it's also very interesting to look at the response of the Sarkozy regime to these strikes. They have refused to honestly negotiate with the LKP, the 47-member trade union political association and mass organizations that are leading this strike. And they, and as you mentioned in your introduction, they've sent 450 riot police in an effort to reopen businesses and to prevent the mass demonstrations that are taking place in Guadeloupe. And also in Martinique, just the last past week, people were quite frustrated with the stalling in the whole negotiation process, and rebellions broke out there for 2 days in Fort de France and in other areas of Martinique. Now, we have to keep in mind that these territories, they have populations that are approximately 400,000, 450,000 people, so it's not a large population there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still significant in terms of the business community, the so-called Beques, who are the descendants of the French colonialists and the French slave owners who have been there for hundreds of years. They are the ones who control the economy there.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the businesses, most of the tourist sector of those islands are controlled by these French elites. And the majority of the people there have very little say in regard to what the political direction of the country is going to be. And this is the real issue. And it's quite interesting in reading the French media, a lot of the French press, they keep saying, well, we know that the people there don't want independence. You know, they're afraid of independence. But I'm really not sure if that's the situation, because one of the main slogans that have been advanced in both Guadeloupe and Martinique is Guadeloupe is ours, not theirs, or Martinique is ours and not theirs. So I think it is an anti-colonial and a pro-independence struggle in a very broad sense.
Yeah, that's definitely good. I was going to ask you, is it a nationalist movement, or it looks like they're it's a more class conscious, more anti-imperialist?
I think it's both.
Yeah,
I think it's operating on both levels, because on the one hand, you have an elite that constitutes maybe 1% of the population that's controlling the entire economy, and the majority of the people there are people of African descent, and they are being exploited economically. So yeah, it's both a national as well as a class struggle that's going on in those territories.
It's interesting, just going into here in Toronto and across the world, going into Apartheid Week. It's really Apartheid Week as of today. A French politician from the region actually referring to the social, you know, economic condition in Guadeloupe and Martinique as, you know, just being shy of social apartheid.
Yes, and I thought that was quite interesting that they made that analogy, because in fact that's what it is. You know, and it even becomes more stark when you have the French government and the business interests there who are refusing to recorrect these problems that exist on those islands. Because why should people who are far poorer, who make less money, pay more for consumer goods, for rents, than people in mainland France? So that in and of itself is discriminatory and also highly exploitative. So I think it's very instructive that Elie Demota heads a coalition that is called, a translation in English, the Collective Against Exploitation, because in fact that's what it really is. They're using those islands as a means of exploiting the labor and the purchasing power of the people there to benefit the French elites.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's just so blatant that I think you know, the capitalist press in North America and Europe, they just can't cover it, because it just like just completely and obviously shows, you know, the colonial situation. And
mm-hmm.
Now we know that France Fanon and Aimé Césaire were from Martinique. Yes. Is their presence felt at these protests, or are they generally well-known figures? And
well, as far as I know, in Martinique, yes, both Aimé Césaire and France Fanon are still canonized as national heroes in those territories. I think that's very, very important because we just lost Aimé Césaire several months ago.
Right.
And Fanon, of course, originally came from Martinique, but the fact that he went to Algeria to work for the French overseas departments back after World War II, and his visit there happened to coincide with the Algerian national liberation struggle that was going on during the 1950s and early 1960s, and he resigned from the French government and started working for the FLN and became an editor of their NUPA, the El Mujahid newspaper, which was widely circulated at the time. And it was during that process that he wrote a lot of the articles that constituted the his classic work, which was Les Dames de la Terre, The Wretched of the Earth,
right.
And which is still a classic book right now. So yes, both those are historical figures. Are still considered national heroes in Martinique and also Guadeloupe as well.
Now, since the protest, the rebellion began on January 20th, there's been one reported death, the murder, that is, of Jacques Pino, a union leader who was killed as he left a strike meeting on February 17th. So, you know, there's been a lot of, I guess, reports of this, conflicting reports of his killing, you know, saying that this occurred at a blockade set up by these youth, impoverished youth, of course, youth in Guadeloupe almost having a 55% unemployment rate, who had taken up arms in response to this police repression, and who mistook Mr. Bino's vehicle for that of an undercover police officer. But what is your understanding of the events around his killing?
Well, I'm not exactly sure about the details. I do know that it was reported in the French media yesterday that five people were arrested in connection with the murder of Jacques Bino.
Mm-hmm.
They have blamed the strikers and the youth who are supporting the strike for his death. But then at the same time, the movement, the LKP, the collective there, is saying that the whole atmosphere that's been created by the presence of the French police and the obstinance of the French business class is really responsible for the death of Jacques Pinot. So I think there needs to be an independent investigation around exactly what happened. You know, it's very easy for the French authorities to say that they weren't responsible. But at the same time, if they were negotiating in good faith, if they did not have riot police there to in an attempt to suppress the people, then I don't think we would have had that shooting, and I don't think the unionists would have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I really believe there needs to be an independent investigation by some international human rights organization that can actually get to the bottom of what happened.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, we got to wrap up. So
right.
What do you think is the trajectory of these six in the future? And what sort of developments do you see happening?
Well, I think they're actually pointing the way. In terms of what people need to do to fight this global economic crisis. If you look at Guadeloupe and Martinique, they formed the United Front of various trade union organizations, various popular associations and youth organizations. We need to do that in the United States. We need to do that in all these capitalist countries where we have an economic crisis. Also, I think the potential for this spreading to other French-controlled territories is very, very strong because, as we've been talking about, it's going to be a general strike in Réunion on Thursday. And also, I believe that the possibility for it spreading and becoming even more militant in France is also, you know, a strong possibility. So I think, you know, it really has a lot of significance.
Definitely, and also, I mean, it's interesting that these strikes are happening also at a time when we hear about, you know, these strikes and largely the ancestors of African slaves dominating these islands, and we're hearing reports of, for example, in the United States, how this economic recession, or as you said, depression, is primarily affecting and disproportionately affecting African and Latino people inside the United States. So in terms of what message this rebellion sends for workers and you know, working class, poor communities, racialized communities here in Canada and the United States that are facing, I mean, not to the same extent, but also this kind of economic suppression and really, you know, this crisis being put on the backs of poor and racialized people.
There's no question about it. Here in the United States, you know, the unemployment rate among African Americans is usually 2, if not 2.5 parallel between what is going on in Guadeloupe and Martinique and what is actually happening in black communities, not only in France, in mainland France, but also here in the United States as well.
Definitely. So,
yeah, I was just going to add to that. I heard one commentator say we might be in a recession now, but the African population of in North America and all over the world been in a recession for years, right?
A
state-imposed recession, right? So
yes, because of globalization and outsourcing of industrial jobs, it has rendered hundreds of thousands of African Americans and Latinos unemployed. And even a lot of the immigrants who have come to the United States recently from Latin America now finding themselves unemployed as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So on that note, Mr. Ezekwe, thank you so much for coming on today. These are definitely historic and really important things that are, as you said, not being covered in the corporate media in Canada or in the United States. And
well,
it's
thank
great.
You so much for you doing your job in covering these very important world developments.
Definitely, and hopefully we'll be able to follow up on this and have you on back sometime soon.
Yeah, anytime. Just call me and I'll be willing to come on.
Definitely. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All
that
right.
Was yeah. Mr. Abayomi Ezekwe, the editor of the Pan-African Newswire, talking about the situation in Guadeloupe and Martinique.
Yeah, and you know, the Pan-African Newswire, that is an amazing electronic press service. I mean, you can get news on Africa everywhere, and news that isn't covered, right? And you know why? Because like what these strikes represent to the capitalist class society. I mean, if people up here organized like we should, then you know, like things would just be a mess for the capitalist class. So, Mr. Ezekwe, his work is almost unparalleled in on topics. If you just go to this website, he has lectures posted and also news from other people around the world in terms of the African situation and the plight of African Americans in a racist capitalist state. So. So with that, I think that might be the end of the show today. You know, again, we had a couple mistakes, but that's live radio, you know, and it was good. And I mean, Mr. Ezekwe was that was a real privilege.
Exactly. You have $4.62.
Sorry, I heard the phone card. the lady from the phone card was trying to get on the radio, but I cut her off.
All right, so you guys got 2 interviews in 1 today, Definitely. So we had a good show today. Just quickly to wrap up, we have a really really important event happening this Wednesday, March 5th. I mean, we're talking about Guadeloupe and Martinique. The event's happening in that part, the French part of the Caribbean. We also have Haiti, the 5th anniversary.
Yeah, the 5th anniversary of Haiti. That it's a documentary release. Is that right, Kabir?
Yeah, it's a documentary premiere by Ken Pina called We Must Kill the Bandits, of course, about the repression, severe repression faced by the supporters of Aristide after the coup back in 2004. So it's going to be Wednesday, March 4th at 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And Lash Miller Chemical Labs at U of T, 80 St. George Street, room 162. That's 5 p.m. on March 4th, 80 St. George Street. And so it's going to be Kevin Pina, a documentary filmmaker who's been living in Haiti for the past number of years, and Jean Candio, a parliamentary deputy under Aristide, who was ousted by our government.
Boo.
And when he came here to Canada as a refugee, basically put under, well, his name was on the terrorist list in Canada, and he was held in detention center for 3 months. But through the work of activists in the Canada-Haiti Action Network, he's been released, and he is going to be coming up from Windsor to discuss his experience. His family, for example, mother, sister, were both burned alive by, you know, these paramilitary terrorists that Canada sponsored in Haiti. So that should be something that everyone should try to check out. It'll be happening this Wednesday.
Yeah, and also, you know, you can get out and go to Israeli Apartheid Week. I mean, like, some of the stuff that you're going to see, the research, the journalists, the artists, the lectures, you know, you're going to see some truth out there and truth that needs to be told more than it is.
www.apartheidweek.org. Click on the Toronto section and you'll get a full listing of this week's events. They're all happening at 7 p.m. On either, one of the three campuses, York, Ryerson, and U of T.
Yeah, and also the Basics newsletter, right? We didn't shout out the newsletter. We got a new issue coming out, issue 13.
Yep.
It's coming out soon, so, you know, you
lucky
can get...
number 13.
Yes, yes, truly. And you can get on there. It's http://, all that stuff.
That was completely unnecessary, Justin.
Basicsnewsletter.blogspot.com. So, just so people, you know, maybe the computer illiterate out there can get on and they know what they got to type. So check it out because it's got a lot of links to articles, the links to events, places you can pick up the newsletter, you know, and just like good old shops you can get in there and talk to some good people. So,
definitely. And Justin, I think, is going to be writing up the article on Martinique and Guadeloupe. So, look out for that.
Yes, look out.
So, I think that's it for Radio Basics today. Thank you so much for tuning in to listen to this. And we're just going to be signing out. This is Kabir and JP, Justin Panos, here, signing out until next week.
Tell the people what you're here for.
Bring everything out closer to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Radio Basics. And there's always a message involved.